Welcome to worship with the Westwood Church here in our beautiful sanctuary. On this Memorial Day weekend, we gather together to lift our hearts and voices in worship, and I'm glad that you've chosen to join us in this online space. If you're able, I hope you'll download our worship guide, where you'll find words to the prayers and songs and scripture that we'll share. I also hope that you'll participate along from home, that you'll join your voice with ours as we become the community gathered in this virtual space together to worship God. I hope you feel at home here in our midst. We are enthusiastic about welcoming all into the life of our church, and we are grateful for the diversity that gathers together. If you're able, I hope you'll post a comment or make a note in the comments of this video so that we can know that you're here and the community can see each other as we gather. May the peace of Christ be with you. God of glory, sovereign of all nations, the risen and ascended Christ calls us to carry your message of life to all people. Led by the power of your Holy Spirit, may we witness always to the hope to which we are called as we share Christ's love to the ends of the earth. Amen. first scripture reading is from the beginning of the book of Acts. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter. Then he said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Oh,
Loving God, we are truly grateful for the disciples who came before us that have borne witness to your love and your light and the abundance that we find in you. We ask that in this time you would open our ears and our hearts and our minds again, that we might hear this word anew, we might receive this good news anew, and it may inspire us to be your witnesses in the world. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, with all of the challenging adjustments we have had to make during this shelter-in-place season, associate pastors everywhere are perhaps experiencing the slightest of silver linings. Memorial Day weekend worship's typically low attendance may just be greater than ever. It's strange to move through these religious and national holidays without the usual preparation and plans for gatherings and adventures. Early on, someone described COVID times as similar to the week between Christmas and New Year's, when you have no real sense of what day it is or what you should be doing. The usual markings of this season, vacations and barbecues and graduations, are not keeping time for us this year. A painful reminder that things are not now as they once were. While we are experiencing grief and listlessness on a more global scale than ever before, these feelings that accompany major transitions in our lives are not all that new. We change routines when we begin new jobs. We alter our family gatherings around changes in relationships or moves out of state or out of childhood homes. We adapt to new rhythms of work and rest when we leave school or return to school. We adopt four-legged friends who demand attention, and we welcome children into our homes who need nurturing care. Most of these changes take place over time. An inciting event invites us to prepare for in advance or to shift into a new pattern, a new role, a new life. Each transition assumes some kind of loss, even the happiest and most celebratory. A new life necessitates letting go of the one that came before. And as Easter people, resurrection people, we are oriented toward new life. One thing I am grateful for in the midst of this pandemic is our Christian tradition of marking time with the Christian calendar. Each year we have the opportunity to journey with the communion of saints through the story of our faith, the birth and life and death and resurrection of Jesus, his teachings and his ministry, his prophecy and invitation, his revelation and promise. It's a cycle that continues whether we observe it or not, and its undercurrent might just catch and carry us when all else feels upended. Like the Earth's seasons in places other than Southern California, it also challenges us and resonates with our spirits as we encounter new life, fruitfulness, decay and death, and regeneration. We learn from its witness that we are not alone in our joy or fear or grief or awe, and that our worst seasons will always transition to something new. Today, we find ourselves at the tail end of the Easter season, a full 40-some days beyond Easter morning, observing the ascension of Jesus. I really love these texts that so challenge our post-Enlightenment thinking. It's such a stretch for us to align our reasonable minds with the evangelist storytelling that knew nothing of physics, nor space travel, nor what actually exists beyond the clouds. We so desperately want to align ourselves on the side of truth and understanding, but in cases like these, I think our best reason most often stands in our way of attending to the mystery, or even to the reality that is at work in us through this witness. For instance, it's widely appreciated that the author of Luke and Acts is the same person, that Luke is a sort of prequel to the history of the early church that we find in the book of Acts. And yet these two accounts of the ascension are different. They convey two very different perspectives of this moment when the person of Jesus left the world, the moment when God was no longer incarnate. And perhaps even these two cannot sufficiently account for this ending, this leave-taking. But rather than spend our time deconstructing the texts for historical accuracy or critiquing them for their incongruence, perhaps the truth resides somewhere in the in-between. Jesus, now the risen Christ, appears to the disciples beyond his death, fulfilling his promise and the prophecies about the Messiah. He once again reminds them of all they have seen and that he has taught them. Luke says he opened the scriptures to them, again echoing earlier encounters, solidifying in them all that he had given or made known. Like a parent's final words before leaving their child in their first dorm room, or sending them off to their new life on another coast or continent, remember the things I taught you. These are the things you know for certain. The gospel account ties things up a little more neatly than Acts, and rightly so, because the former is an ending to the gospel of Jesus, and the latter sets the scene into which a new narrative takes shape. One is the culmination of a world in which God is living among God's people. The other is the beginning of a world post-incarnation, after death. Those who have lost a parent or close family member sometimes describe how there is a world in which that person exists, and then suddenly they live in a new world where they do not. This transition, this disorienting shift, began the transformation of the disciples from followers to apostles, from friends and siblings to members of the one body. There's always an awkward space between the way things were and the way they will be, and for the most part, we hate that space. It's messy and uncertain, sometimes painful and prolonged. It requires mental and emotional work, letting go and reframing, acquiring new information, assuming new roles, and adapting relationships. We all enter and navigate this space differently. Like grief in general, it doesn't usually follow a linear progression. Waves of hope and excitement shift to anxiety and frustration. Our sense of identity is challenged. We grasp for what is known and assured. We wish for certainty of structure or leadership, some way to more clearly define who we are and how to live our lives from here. I've been taken with the brutal honesty of the show Fleabag, written and acted by Phoebe Waller-Bridge. It's a primetime Emmy and Golden Globe winning series that is not for all audiences. And I can only recommend it to mature audiences with great caution. I know you're intrigued now. The protagonist is a woman in her early 30s, wrestling like many of us with grief and loss and learning about her place in the world. In one climactic scene, she confesses to her friend, a priest, that what she really wants more than anything is someone to tell her what to wear and to eat, and what music to listen to and what jokes to make, to tell her what to do or not to do and where to go or not to go, because up until that point, she fears she's been getting it wrong, that if someone could just tell her what to do, she would do it. And while her character doesn't believe in God, she speculates that this feeling must be why some people seek religion and the shepherding of a priest, so that they can feel more certain and less afraid. We see the same impulse in the disciples, still clinging to that former reality, to the life they lived as students and followers, as children and adolescents in the faith. Is now the time that you will restore Israel, they ask? What will you do next? Show us, lead us. Jesus responds by saying he cannot give them that certainty. It is not for them to know, but they are to be witnesses, sharing what they have seen and heard to others. Then, as Jesus transcends the boundaries of his earthly reality, they continue looking upward, stunned, amazed, perhaps in fear. Their reality, their roles, their lives have shifted. Now they must decide for themselves. They can no longer simply follow. They must lead. It seems so critical that we read these two narratives together, standing somewhere between gratitude and uncertainty, between stunned grief and joyful worship. It seems critical that we acknowledge the liminal space between Jesus' resurrection and the birth of the church, that there was a time in which the church as we knew it did not exist, and those who had walked with Jesus had to step into new roles without a manual or ordinance or constitution or book of discipline to guide them in becoming the body of Christ. It brings me some comfort to look back on our history, both ancient and modern, and see that unprecedented times are not themselves unprecedented. Collectively, we have endured and sometimes courageously conquered natural disasters, economic crises, genocide, oppression, illness, and war. Each time we suffered loss and grief. Each time the world as we knew it felt like it was ending. Each time courageous people stepped forward to do research and develop vaccines, to fight injustice, to develop social programs and governmental regulations, to do the hard work of confession and reconciliation, and sometimes to physically stand in the midst of violence to bring it to an end. Each time there were those who were willing to dig into the research or education or values or experience they had accumulated and to push forward without guide or guardian to help shape our lives for the better. It also gives me hope to remember that Jesus didn't leave one disciple in charge to bear the burden of traversing the uncertainty for the rest. Instead, he brought them out together, reminding them that collectively they were witnesses, that sending and blessing them was something they did in community. It was not the intention that one would fill his place so that the others might remain followers, but instead their collective gifts and voices would be necessary to the continuation of the mission and message of God's kingdom. Jesus didn't ascend to make room for a new high priest or Messiah, but so that the church might be born in all of us. I fear that this season is revealing many of the ways we have strayed from this intention and teaching in the church, that it is revealing the ways we seek efficiency over collaboration, production over empowerment, professionalism over mutual responsibility. We have taken to service providing and event planning over the messy work of transformation. We have mistakenly supported the assumption that being a member of this body, of Christ's body, the church, won't demand something of you, won't ask you to let go of an old life to live fully into a new one, and not one that is fully dictated by an infallible text or the properly credentialed pastor, but that values each of us as a witness, as someone who has experienced invitation, who has been moved by authentic compassion, who has been broken by violence and injustice, who has been blessed by the grace of forgiveness, who has known true belonging and unreasonable peace, and who will carry that blessing forward into a broken and fearful world. The liminal space we are in invites us into deep reflection about who we have been and who we will become, about the roles we have played and will need to assume in what's ahead, about our responsibility to ourselves and our neighbors in light of new information, perspectives, and realities. This space affords us the time to listen intently to those who are outcast, lost, and lonely, who are wounded and weary, whose bodies and spirits pay the price of another's privilege, who experience violence for existing outside of binary norms. It affords us the opportunity also to examine more carefully our own fears and wounds that prevent us from stepping more fully into our calling to be these witnesses in and for the world, and for which we might seek our own healing. In this uncomfortable space where we cannot be the church in the form to which we have grown accustomed, perhaps we can commit to listen together and faithfully discern how we are being called in new ways to witness to the good news of Jesus in our midst. Not one of us knows the right way. Not one of us has journeyed this particular path before. Not one of us is capable of bearing this responsibility alone. We can tend to our own grief and loss. We can stand amazed in fear. And we must also be giving thanks and praise continually for all that we have learned and know to be true of the God who loves us, sends us, and blesses us to be Christ's body for the world. I pray that when we look back on this season, we might see clearly how an old life gave way to make room for a new, more just, more loving, more engaged, and connected life to begin as Christ's body, the church. May it be so. Amen.
O divine love, on this morning, as we gather to celebrate resurrection and ascension, we pray that you would lift our gaze so that we might perceive your presence, your transcendence here, wherever we are, in all of the spaces where we exist today, separated by the walls of our living spaces. We pray that you would nonetheless unite us in a sense of community that transcends these spaces, a community that is faithful to your call, your gift that makes us the body of Christ. Bring us together in such a way that we might be lifted out of our own individual perspectives and able to see and feel and know the joys and the struggle of all your children everywhere. In this time of pandemic, we pray that you would give peace to those who grieve, that you would calm all anxieties, that you would strengthen those who give assistance as healthcare workers and essential workers, as people who care for others within our households, parents becoming teachers, children becoming caregivers to parents, parents seeking after the well-being of their children. We pray that you would strengthen us all for each moment. Give us the patience and grace we need to not only make it through each day, but to mark the passage of time as an moments in which your abiding presence has been clear to us.
We pray that you would lift our gaze, that we might care for one another in times of need, not only those whose names and lives we know, but for all your precious children everywhere. We pray for those most vulnerable in this moment, those who've lost work or never had work, those who've lost shelter or never had a safe place to lie their heads. We pray that you would tune us in to the underlying injustices around us and enable us to transcend our own perspectives to seek after the well-being of all. Help us remain committed to the values that undergird our life as Christians and enable us to lift ourselves beyond the limitations of our own goals. In this moment of partisan tension in our nation, give us the sense to tune in to the gifts of science as it gives us good information, and allow us to tap into the reservoir of the values of our faith that we might make careful and thoughtful and compassionate decisions that seek after the well-being of all your children. We pray that you would give us wisdom in each moment. We pray for our leaders in the church, in the community, and throughout the world, that they also would have and know wisdom, that they would lead from values of love and justice. Enable us to be people who embody your peace now and always. This and all our prayers we lift in the name of Jesus Christ, whose words we now use to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
So good to be with you in worship, even in this virtual way. We are so grateful for the ways that you show up and share greetings with one another and share your prayer concerns and just share your love and appreciation of one another, especially those who offer themselves in this service, our musicians in particular. We're also truly grateful for the ways that you are able to give of yourself and your resources in this season. We are grateful to support our staff that help continue the ministries of the church to make sure that church is not canceled, even though the doors might be closed. So we do appreciate any offerings you're able to give, either online or through checks in the mail. We do have a couple of announcements. The first is that we have a follow-up offering at 11 o'clock today led by Larry Owen. He is a poet and a writer and is going to help us think more about how to share our personal histories and the stories that come from our memory and our lives to those who come after us. So it'll be a fun time of being together and thinking about how to share our stories with one another. Also, we want to be sure that we honor any graduates that we have this year, especially in this season when we're missing out on so many of the opportunities to honor and celebrate those who have accomplished such great things. So please do send any information you have about a high school graduate or a college graduate or a postgraduate that we might incorporate it into our service on June 7th. If you could send those into the office this coming week, that would be wonderful to Sabrina. But these are our announcements this morning, but as always, we are just grateful to be together, to have heard this word, to be inspired again, to live a new life as Christ is calling us to live. But may we go from this gathering with this blessing, that the God who created us and the God who loves us and the God who guides us is calling us and needs us to share God's love with the world, particularly in this time. May we be inspired to be a new church, to be new witnesses to this love, this day and evermore. Amen.